Let's take our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We have been studying verse by verse through Philippians, and we are going to jump in hyperspace through almost two chapters, but just temporarily. And we're going to look at chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. I've been burdened the last few days and thinking about the challenges that many of you are going through. And I know that it can be very difficult, mentally, physically. There is a spiritual oppression in our community, and there's a lot of things going on. And I would want to encourage you tonight, not that everything is going to be okay, although it is true that everything is going to be okay. Because you're a child of God. And because of that, everything, literally everything, he said, I make all things new. And so everything will not only be okay, it'll be perfect. And that is coming. But we're not there yet. We're still living in Toledo, which is far from perfect. Amen? And so tonight I want to be an encouragement to you. I want to give you three blessings that I see here. Three blessings for uncertain times. Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. When he talked about verse number 11, use the word state. He is talking about circumstances, our position in society, perhaps temporary attributes that you might have. Conditions. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The word content, we think we understand what it means. And it's one of those irritating little words that is harder to actually live than it is to understand. But contentment is, to be content is to be quiet, not disturbed, having a mind at peace, satisfied, so as not to repine or object or oppose. It, from the 1400s, that time frame, it came into English, and it means, literally, it means held or contained within limits, which then gave it the understanding of having the desire limited to present enjoyments. In other words, I have what I want. But I also want what I have. That is contentment. It is that I just couldn't get out of my head, being an aspiring etymologist, philologist. One of these days when I grow up, I want to be that. Looking at the words themselves, the English words that God has given us, it's a marvelous thing. I don't need to go into other languages when I have a language that is made up of so many other languages. It's really amazing. And you can see, I give you a mental picture of what this word content means by looking at the two parts of this word, con and tent. And you're never going to believe what the word tent is connected with. A tent. Can you believe that? You didn't have to go anywhere to find that. It's right there. Content. How many were ever deceived and betrayed by when you bought a pup tent thinking that it was going to be a lot of fun? Anybody remember that? I remember thinking that a pup tent, I mean, I need to get a pup tent. I don't know what it is. But someone else had a pup tent, and I didn't have a pup tent. And I knew that at that moment, I needed a pup tent. Mainly because I didn't have what someone else had. And so when I got the pup tent, what I realized it was a piece of fabric. And it was a piece of fabric that is draped over a string or a line, a rope. between two trees, and then you drape the tent over that line, and now you suddenly have a pup tent. And it was one of the worst inventions of all time, because obviously there's nothing keeping the elements out whatsoever. It was a pup tent. And so as I got older, I realized I'm going to get a real tent. I remember one time we got a nice tent that you could fold up very quickly or put up very quickly and fold quickly. And we were, I don't know, somewhere out in Wyoming, I guess, or somewhere like that, Nebraska. And we were staying at a KOA, Campgrounds of America. And Brother Mark Krotz used to work at those. He loves those. It's my great memories growing up. Just ask him about it. But we were bunking down for the night, and all of a sudden, somewhere in the morning, somewhere about 12:30 in the middle of the night, it began to lightning and rain, and we said, "Oh no, we're going to have to get up and put this tent away wet when we leave in the morning." So we got up about 3 in the morning, and we put the tent away, and we just drove on. And that's how they make their money, people. That's how they make their money. KOA, you stay there for 2 hours, and then you leave. And that's the way it goes. But that was a nice tent. But the thing that's interesting about a tent is that it's a temporary dwelling place. But there's just something about having a fort. Or I don't know if you were like this when I was little. If we ever went to a playground and they had a little house of some kind, it was just the best. It was a little fort, a slanted roof. And we just put a piece of plywood against the wall, and I was like, it's a house. And maybe it was because I didn't grow up in a house, and it was really exciting for me to be in this little shack. And I was like, this is great. And we'd go in there, and I can remember places around the country, these little houses. And I'd like to go back there right now and just go in the house. But it's so interesting because it's a restricting thing. It is a, you've got the wide world, the universe, and it's not exciting. But you get this little house, and you can go in the house. You say, you're weird. I know I am. I'm trying to be an encouragement to you. I'm even weirder than you are. That ought to encourage you in some way. But I just remember thinking, why is it better to be in a small little confined space than it is to be out in the great big wide expanse of God's creation? And partly, of course, because, you know, you're not going to get rained on and so forth. But there's something comforting about being in a smaller space. Now, it can also be very frustrating and infuriating depending on the adverse circumstances that you're in. And when I look at the word contentment, I see myself in a tent somehow. It literally means with, calm, and the word to hold, to stretch. It's talking about a covering. And so when we talk about contentment, he said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now let's look at some scriptures here that will give us this idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and leading into chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 leading into chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 4:16, we're talking about blessings during uncertain times. For which cause, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, like what? Our outward man. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're connected with time. But the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, chapter 5, were dissolved, talked about the outward man perishing, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tabernacle, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, this body, this tent, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Notice, he is saying that we're groaning in the tabernacle not just to get rid of the tabernacle, not just to be vulnerable out in the middle of the expanse of the universe, but that we would have a permanent dwelling place. Can you remember when you felt strong and energetic and excited and inspired? Ever? Ever? Amen? I know she's taken it all out of you, hasn't she? Removed all of your hopes and dreams surgically with a credit card. But think about this. That is in you, that remembrance, that memory of how strong and how excited you were and how wonderful life seemed and how everything was just lollipops and rainbows. That was not just a pipe dream. It was a foretaste of your future. What happens as we get older, we begin to get cynical about good things. Why? Because we don't have them anymore. We start getting cynical, hard, and we can be on our way to glory. We can be glory bound with the hammer down, literally. He said, we only are in this house temporarily. But we think we're never going to have anything nice ever again. And our attitude and our mindset about the world reflects that. Why is that? Well, Paul said here, we groan. We want to get rid of this stinking pup tent because it's cheap. It's worthless. But remember, I'm not going to be naked and open. That's not the direction that God's taking us. He's taking us to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. In the meantime, we've got to learn to be happy in the tent that God's given us. To be content in this tabernacle. And how can we possibly do it? Well, he gives us one really, really, should be a slam dunk way to be happy. Verse 5 of chapter 5. Now, he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Contentment is dwelling in the tent that God's given me and enjoying the fellowship of the Spirit. How did the Holy Spirit get inside this pup tent? Why did the Holy Spirit come into this pup tent? Is probably a better question. But he's in there. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. He said that he would be in you like a well of water springing up. Forth from his belly, he that believeth on me, forth from his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the what? Of the Spirit. This spake he of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is in you. May I remind you that bath salts can help with some me time. I mean, chick flicks, if you're a lady, they can help. Right? They don't help me a whole lot. I got burned out at chick flicks years ago, I can tell you that. Hey, ordering out can help a little bit. The right kind of something from Three Happiness, whatever. I mean, it can help. Scented candles, woodwick candles can minister even to the soul. Right? But can I remind you, every lost person has access to those things. You have access, and I have access to something already inside the tent with you. It's the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He can comfort you. And we'll see in a moment here how the Lord allows us to be comforted by the Spirit of God. Talking about contentment, I wanted to give you that basic foundation of understanding of what contentment is. And look at chapter, if you would, back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Here are three blessings of for uncertain times. Number one, the blessing of increased education. I have learned. Paul did not simply say, although he could have, I'm content. Now you grow up and start being content. He said, I've learned to be content. It is still possible to learn. When you stop learning, you start dying. And anyone who will tell you, and believe me, I'm feeling it in my young age, I'm feeling this pressure of there are people that want to know things. Sometimes my children will ask, and I just want to say, because. Right? Because. Christians, we sometimes want to say the same thing. Why is your attitude that way? Because. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. Paul said, I have learned to be content. I have. When did he learn this? Well, we know that he was well into his adult years before he ever met Jesus Christ personally. So even though he had all of these things, in fact, we looked at Philippians chapter 3 last time, he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. What did he have? He had a lot of stuff. He had learned a lot of things. And when he turned to Christ, he said, I'm putting all that stuff away. I'm starting from scratch. Can I encourage you, believer, tonight, to maintain a curiosity about God's universe? That'll keep you young. It'll give you some vitality. It'll give you some energy. It will, in fact, attract other people to you. You may say, well, that's why I don't want to learn. I don't want nobody around me. But remember this, you're bought with a price. This life is not about making you happy. We buy into the American dream so well as believers that we are indistinguishable from the lost world. In fact, AARP, it might as well be the Bible to us, that magazine. Right? Why? It's just easier to just go along with the flow. But as believers, we're called to be different. We're called to be separate. And I can tell you, a person who is content will be very attractive in this world. Someone who has learned how. What does that mean? You had to put some time and effort into it. It's not easy. He said, everywhere and in all things, verse 12, I am instructed. I am instructed. We talked about discipleship on Sunday night. Discipleship is not about all the smart people telling the stupid people how to live for the Lord. Because in every relationship, there are two learners and there are two teachers. You might be teaching somebody something that you know and they know, and you're learning stuff that you've never seen before. It's the way life is as a believer. See, God gives us an opportunity to understand new things. Maybe what you could try is this. You could say, I want to learn one new thing every week. Just one new thing and make it a goal and write down what it is that is new that you've learned. You know what? If we're not careful, we will end up just like the old beagle dog that I used to see. It would just wander around this property. Just wander around. Had so many ticks on it. Who knew how many were on there? I mean, big fat gray ones that were just there. And you just wander around, ears just drooping. laying around in the sun, get up, walk around over here. You know, I wonder sometimes as believers, how many ticks do we have that are sapping the life out of us? Literally sucking our blood from a standpoint of our drive, of our ability to be kind, of our learning, of our energy. We just allow things on in our lives to just suck us dry, and we just wander around and sit in the shade, you know. For some reason, I have this memory of that beagle, and he would wander around, and he would come under in the bus that we had there. He would just sit under the window, and we'd look out there, and there he was. And I just took some easy cheese one day, and I just kind of sprayed some easy cheese on him for some reason. I don't know why I told you that, but I just did. I mean, the thing was so fat and slow and old, he didn't care. He could do whatever. And I sometimes wonder as believers if we're not just in this beagle mode, you know, the devil's just spraying easy cheese. I don't know. I mean, anything could happen to us. We got all kinds of things that are sucking the life out of us that are connected. Why? This is what we've always done. Just who we are. It's what we are. Listen, you're in this tabernacle for X amount of time. And one of these days, the Lord's going to fold the whole thing up, take you to heaven, give you a new place that's permanent. What are you doing with your contentment right now? What are you doing in your tent? You can learn. Learn how to be content. Learn how to be content. Notice it's personal contentment. That's the second one. The blessing of increased education. I have learned. I have learned. And then the blessing of personal contentment. It is possible to be content with your state. It is possible for you to be content with your state. Now, that does not mean God does not want things to change or for you to grow or for you to do something new, take vent. No, that's not what he, but it is a natural outgrowth of contentment. In fact, it's one of the ways that you can know that God's leading you is that when you are happy with where God has placed you and you enjoy what God has given to you and what you're doing for the Lord, and then you want to do more for God. We talked about it during Missions Conference about Faith Promise. The idea is not just keep making the bricks without any straw. It is that you give out of a great cheerfulness. That you are so thankful for what God's given you that you want to give something to Him. Instead of Missions Conference and giving being a guilt trip every year. It could be that you need to get your finances in order, and then you have a foundation within which to be happy and be thankful and then give something to God. It's an important prioritization that goes on. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Are you content with who you are? Or are you so vitally concerned about being someone else? If I could just be taller, I would be happier. If I could be prettier, if I could be richer, thinner, bulkier, darker, lighter. If I could just be anything other than what I am right now, I would be happy. Probably not, right? Knowing you. Because you haven't been happy up to this point. My dad used to tell a story of a young boy who never spoke. They didn't think that he could speak. They thought he was a mute. At 10 years of age, one morning at breakfast, he said, "Toast is burnt." And the mom just began to cry, tears of joy. "How? We never knew you could talk. Why didn't you ever say anything?" He said, "Everything was fine up till now." Right? I mean, a lot of believers, everything has been horrible up till now. If God would just give me this one more thing, I could be happy. Just be honest with yourself. Just be honest with yourself. You're not going to be happy for more than 15 minutes. But it is possible for you to be content with how many children you have. It's possible for you to be content with your spouse. As horrible as they are. And we know that they are. But it's possible for you to be content. Could it be that maybe some of you would have kept your spouse if you had been content with your spouse? That's a possibility. Or on the vice versa, you would have a spouse now if your spouse had been content with you. Right? What it's a lack of contentment. Being content with who you are. May I remind you, you are a child of God. That's a big deal. That's bigger than Prince Henry and Prince William and all that. Being content with who you are. Being content with where you are, the position that you hold. The position that you hold. How about this? Being content with what you have. The physical things that you have. And perhaps the influence that you have as well. How about being content with the people that surround you? Now, I understand there's a fine line because sometimes we can work a dead-end job for 30 years because you have no interest in improving and growing. But if you are doing your best to learn and be a better version of who God's made you to be, like you want to, Paul said, I want to forget the things which are behind, reach forth unto those things which are before. You're doing everything that you can, then you can be happy. I may have told you this before, but my wife one time said to me, if the Lord were to take you home, you have been a success. Now, I don't know what exactly she had in mind at the time. But she said it kind of like, if the Lord were to ever take you home. I had to stop and think, now, wait a second. Did I have my coffee already? I don't know. But she said that, and it really rankled me because my desire was to be a pastor. And I was not a pastor at the time. And so I said, in my mind, I said, no, there's no way. There's no way the Lord could take me home and I would have been a success because I was not what I wanted to be. You follow what I'm saying? Like, in other words, God messed this one up. I don't know what's going on, but if he takes me home, he missed it. If he had any clue as to how amazing I would be as a pastor, he would never take me home early. Isn't that how we think, though? We know how God is going to use us. We know how amazing we are going to be in the future. And all God needs to do is just, let's go. Let's get with the program. Get down there to where I'm amazing. And then, Lord, I don't really care what you do at that point. That's speaking a little bit facetiously. But, I mean, sometimes we live our lives that way. I can't be happy now. I got to kick the dog on the way into the house because I'm not happy. And mom's not happy today. And dad's not happy. And, my kids are just not happy right now. And they've been through a lot. Parents, please don't give your kids an early start at being discontent. If you can help it at all, stop making excuses for them and don't bend over backwards to make them feel like $100 billion all the time. Because you're helping them learn how to be a grump for the rest of their lives. They think if things don't work out, it's okay for me to have a bad attitude. I just have a bad attitude right now. And really what it comes down to is you're discontent about something. Being in an uncertain time as we are, one of the blessings, truly, is personal contentment. To be actually happy with where you are. You know, you could stop at any moment in your life and you could look at the balance sheet of good and bad, pro and con. And if you focus on the con, on the bad, on the things that should have not been done, guess how you're going to feel about your life? I mean, if you think about all the conversations people have had and the attitudes that they've had with you and the things they said that should not, I'm sorry, they should not have been said. If you think about those things, guess how you are going to act to everybody around you. That's how you're going to act. If you were to swing it over on the pro side, the blessings and benefit side, and say, oh, I'm trying to think of blessings. Oh, let's see. It's just been such a hard life. Isn't it amazing how we cannot forget the bad junk? And we cannot remember the good stuff. Why? I just remind you, that's not of God. That is of the old nature. That is someone who's not happy with the tent that God has given to him. They're in there. And by the way, you're going to be in there, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're going to be in there your entire life. Yeah, I know it should be bigger. I know it's a cheap tent. I know it doesn't have a knockout or a fly cover or whatever the thing is called. It doesn't have a rain fly. That's what it's called. It doesn't have extra room and the wind, the little partition that comes down in the tent that the rich people have. They have a little wall of plastic material between them and their kids. It's amazing how we can complain about the things that we don't have. But if you were to stop and just think about, let's just say you were never had been born a la Jimmy Stewart. And then think about the little blessings that God's given you, like your kids and your grandkids. And think about the Bible that you hold in your lap and how many times the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. And think about the times when you thought you were done. It was over with. Like maybe you're going to die and the Lord preserved you. Over and over and over and over again, God has been good to us. The blessings of personal contentment. 1 Timothy said, "It is godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Except for your birthday suit, right? That's all you got when you came in. That's all you're going to have when you go out. I mean, do we believe that? See, if we can just stop and think about all of the things that we're going to be, how we're going to pack. I mean, you talk about, you ever seen those little videos where the people take little vans or little houses and they make nice little tiny stuff? Just think about your casket as your nice little house that you're going to live in forever, and how you're going to put all the stuff in there, and your TV is going to go in there, and your IRA, stick that in the side, right? I mean, it's all, you're not going to know, right? It is certain we can carry nothing out. Nothing. So if I were not to, I would just say, not to be too embarrassing here, but if I were to say, listen, you have to leave everything here right now, just leave it, and that's what you get for eternity. You got to go out of this building, leave everything here. You don't have a house to go to. You don't have a car to go to. You don't have family. You don't have anything. Just go out. That's how we go out into eternity. And then we can start looking, wait a second, God's been really good to me. You can start developing that personal contentment. But he does tell us we can have two things, food and raiment. And that's a blessing. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. See, it's not that the riches are bad. It's that the people who say, I will have more, and I don't care what it takes to get there. I'll trample all over godly contentment in my life because I'm sick and tired of not having anything. I don't care if I have to miss church. I don't care if I have to not even go to church anymore because you know what? I'm sick and tired of not having stuff. Christians are always poor, and they're always weak, and they're always intimidated, and they have nothing, and I'm tired of it all. Careful. Because they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. And the Bible says that they drown themselves in many foolish and hurtful lusts. God wants to take care of you, but can we just stop and be honest? God has already taken care of you. Yeah, you don't have all the stuff that you wish you had. You got a sight more than your grandparents had, I can tell you that. God's been very kind and generous. And all we keep looking at is the under the tree. Is there another one? Is there any more presents under there, God? What about the stack of presents behind you? God's been good. The blessing of personal contentment. And thirdly and lastly tonight, that should bring some contentment. the blessing of increased flexibility. You see, God can take adverse, difficult circumstances and make expert soldiers from them. In fact, that's how you make a good soldier, they say, is to persecute him, to put him through misery, and he becomes a better soldier. The cream rises to the top. You have Michael Jordan with the flu game. Anybody heard of that? Right? That was the one where he was he had the flu and he should not have performed. He performed even better than he had been performing. Why? Because he had adverse circumstances. He looked at the difficulties that he was handed and he decided to take it up a notch rather than looking at the circumstances and going down. Believers, we have an opportunity here to have more flexibility and thereby more influence for God as a result of the junk going on in your life. And as soon as you realize that I'm telling you the truth, God will start using it. See, we think, yeah, if I didn't have what I have and I had a better life like that person, I hadn't been through things like they haven't been through things. No, the Lord says, I allow those in your life. I know, like Joseph said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So it's possible for God to take the divorce, the nasty relationships, the toxic family that you came from. God can take that stuff and use it for His glory. Otherwise, what is it? We think, well, I can't do anything for God. How is it possible for someone who is clean as a whistle, never done anything wrong, never drunk anything stronger than Kool-Aid, never does anything, and they just basically are better than everyone else, and that's, you know, how is it possible for them to learn to lean on the Lord? They don't need the Lord to live a clean life. They're already living clean. Right? I was talking to somebody recently, talking about how they had lost their taste of scent, of smell, and lost their sense of taste and smell as a result of the virus. And they said, boy, this would be the opportunity to drink beer. You could still say, I've never tasted beer in my life. I said, drink it up, brother. It's a great opportunity. You could still say it. It's like saying every dime that comes into the offering, every dime. The dollars and things we'll keep, but every dime that comes, right? It's amazing how, but see, you look at a person who, with a clean lifestyle, and thank God for a clean lifestyle. But on the flip side, those of you that have had difficult things that you've gotten through, haven't you experienced the power of God in your life giving you victory over those things? Which would you prefer? Which would you prefer? I think that the blessing of increased flexibility is a gift that God gives to us as we learn how to be content. What does he say in verse 12, Philippians 4:12? I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Paul was a man that was incredibly flexible. He says in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now, Paul was able to use something that the Jews themselves, when he was persecuting the Jews could not use. When he was about to get beaten, he said, is it lawful for you to beat a Roman that's uncondemned? The Jews didn't have that opportunity when he was persecuting them in Acts chapter 9. But Paul used it. He had a lot of flexibility. He said, I am free from all men. Ain't nobody can lay a hand on me. But I'm going to make myself a servant. And look what he did, verse 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. That I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He said, I want to be a part of your life. I want to have an influence in your life. By the way, this is something every father should should desire for his own children, to have an influence in every one of his children's lives. It's what every grandmother or grandfather should have a desire to do, to be an influence in their lives of their grandchildren. It's what you ought to have a desire to do at your workplace with every person there. How do you do it? I would start with 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and also chapter 10, where you are seeking to become what these people need in order to reach them for Christ. Some of you have been through cancer now, and when you know someone's going through cancer, you know exactly what to say to them. That's not something that I've been through as of yet. But you've been through it. Now you have greater flexibility. You see, when Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, he knew what kind of states there were that required contentment. He said, I know how to be abased and how to abound. I know how to be full and to be hungry. It wasn't just, boy, I can clear out a potluck line. I can tell you that right now. Well, most of us probably could. What does it say in Ecclesiastes? Who else can eat or who can hasten thereunto more than I? I mean, that's one side of it. But what about being hungry? See, we want to go and then we think that somehow we're going to rise. Could it be that maybe you could even start training yourself in some of these areas? Remember, one of the first things that Daniel did was requested that he might not eat something. And that is one of the things that God used in his training regimen to help him gain influence in a secular culture. Learning not to do things. Some of you got decisions to make about the holidays when it comes to work. Maybe not so much this year, I don't know. But maybe God can use you in your workplace to learn contentment and become what those people need you to become in various ways so that you could save some. The blessings of increased flexibility. We have that even in difficult times. I think we could safely say that all of us are a little bit more sensitive and concerned about people's sicknesses than we were a year ago. Why? Because we've been forced to think about people getting sick. And I don't like a lot of the elements that have gone with it, but I'm just thinking as a pastor, what if the weight never lifts off our society? What if we never go back to normal? Now, I fight that with every inch of my being because I'm an optimist. We're going to get through this. Things like this have happened before. 1918 Spanish flu, so forth and so on and so on. But let's just remember, this is not the same country that it was when it was founded. Things have changed. Our mandate has not changed. But see, if we're not careful as believers, we will live discontented lives because things are not what they used to be or what they should be. You know what? Things are what they are. They are what they are. And believers, we have a responsibility to become all things to all men, not so we can take us back to 1950s America. What a time that was in America, the golden age. But we can't go back there, can we? Even if we wanted to, we couldn't do it. The demographics of our society are not the same. The GDP is not the same. The understanding of morality and government and authority is not the same. So many things are different. I don't know about you. I want to be a special forces soldier that adapts and overcomes. Adapts and overcomes. Now, the ground pounders, thank God for them. You dump them out of a plane, they go in there, they start shooting. But a special forces soldier has to go in and recognize what's going on in the indigenous population. And we're going to start influencing and adapting and overcoming so that we can still accomplish the same mission, which is for our country to win. See, I'm from another country called heaven, and I want to see other people come to know Jesus Christ. And so I have to learn to adapt and overcome. I might have to put up with a lot of nonsense Why? This is not my home. I'm just passing through. And to throw on top of that, this is my home, America. And I want to see things. It's a confusing situation. We've got to, at the very least, be content with who we are and where God has placed us. I'm not saying it's easy. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state. It takes time. Could it take time to learn to it? What if you don't get better? What if you don't heal? What if your family goes through that difficult circumstance that you're afraid that it will? What if your kids end up doing something other than what you want them to do? What if you and your spouse never quite get there where you want to be? What if you always live in this house? What if you always have to be in the same vocation? See, sometimes we're looking for, I'll really start serving God when? I'll really get this thing in hand when? Why not now? Could it be God brought you to this irritating, discouraging place because He wants you to learn something right now? I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The last scripture here is Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Tonight the encouragement is to look at the blessings of uncertain times. First of all, the blessing of increased education. I have learned. Secondly, the blessing of personal contentment. Learn to be content. And then the blessing of increased flexibility. You see, in Hebrews 13:5, He hath said, I will never leave thee. No matter what circumstance you're in, you've got the Lord with you. So I would encourage you to live in the tabernacle that God's given you and see how far it'll stretch. See how many people you can impact. See how wide your elbows can go in the tabernacle that God's given you. And remember that the Lord is always with you. That thing is probably bigger than you give it credit for. It's probably nicer than you want to admit. God's been very gracious in giving you this tabernacle. You've got an opportunity right now to enroll in a class with Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God with you. And you can learn amazing lessons, even in a difficult time. Allow the Lord to teach you. And as you allow Him to teach you, you will find yourself living with joy. And you might even smile. People are going to look at you and say, what's up with you? I thought you were mad. I thought you were upset. No, I just looked at my life and realized, you know, I've got a whole lot more to be thankful for. God's been surely good to me. And I'm struggling with some stuff, but I'm doing a whole lot better than I deserve. And I'm doing a lot better than so-and-so. And I just want to be happy. I want to be content. And I want to encourage my friends and my family and my children, my neighbors to be happy, to be content. Yeah, there's a lot of junk going on in the world. Do we need someone else to remind us of that? No. The Lord said, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee, and I can be happy with Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.